Some things are not what they seem. If you look at the calendar, you would think it would be springtime, but one glance at the dirty snow tells us that this is not yet so. Speaking of spring, it's spring training. And of course, we all know that this is the 100th year since the Cubs won the pennant, so surely this is the year they'll return to the World Series. But this may well turn out to be one of those things that is not what it seems. Speaking of spring training, a few days ago, the leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees struck out on 6 pitches. Was it a rookie phenom? What is it, somebody called up from the Sally League for a tryout with the Yankees? No, it was comedian Billy Crystal celebrating his 60th birthday. Not really what you'd think you'd find in the Yankee pinstripes. And on a more serious note, the governor of New York this week, a crusader for justice in many ways, was found not quite to live up to his own standards. So people sometimes are not what they seem. Jesus was not who he seemed to be, at least not to the crowd on that Palm Sunday. He entered Jerusalem like a conqueror. They threw him a parade. Now, if you're paying close attention to the scripture, and if you had been one of those who knew the Hebrew scriptures that day, you'd know he chose to ride in on a colt, on a young horse, not a grown-up horse, not a stallion like a military hero would ride, but instead, in accordance with Zechariah, he came in on a small colt, a donkey perhaps. But still, they wave palm branches. And again, if you know your scriptures, the intertestamental scriptures, the book of the Maccabees, where it talks about the revolt of the Jews against the power that then occupied Israel, and that revolt succeeded, and they kicked out the rulers from faraway nations, and the Jews retook their own capital, and Judas Maccabeus came into the city of Jerusalem, and they cut palm branches and waved them to signify the return of this military hero. So whom do you think they would be thinking of that day as Jesus rides into the city with Roman soldiers all around? They wave palm branches, remembering the one who 200 years before had kicked out an occupying power. So amidst the cheers as the religious authorities watch, it's no wonder they thought, look, the world has gone after him. There's really nothing we can do. But Jesus was not who he seemed to be. 4 days later, he's arrested like a common criminal. There are no magic tricks. There's no cunning escape. There's no military victory now. And then on Friday, Jesus dies helplessly on a cross. And the people concluded, well, he was not who we thought him to be. Even some of the disciples agreed. It's just a couple days later, two of them are walking along the road and talking to one another about what happened. And they say, we had thought that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. He'd be the one to save our nation. Jesus was not a conquering hero, not a victorious leader, not a ruling king. He was not who he seemed to be. And it remained that way, except for his followers, except for those who mourned his death, except for those who loved him a few days later, when they came to realize that something had happened. The stone had been rolled away from the tomb, the body gone. Resurrection had happened. And in their confusion, they discovered that maybe Jesus was not whom they had thought, but Jesus was even more than they had realized, that he had conquered not just armies, he had conquered death, that he was victorious over the powers of evil in the world. He was a ruling king, for he ruled in their hearts. The people had underestimated him. And we still do. We try to domesticate Jesus, to define him, to own him. We try to use him for our own purposes, make him our good luck charm. You know the song, I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. Jesus is a plastic figure from the past. We use him for luck to try to make good things happen for us. Or worse yet, we think him irrelevant, a figure just in the past, a good teacher perhaps, some good things to say, some words to live by. But for those who trust him, for those who love him, Jesus is much more. He's a living figure, not stuck in the past, but alive now in the present. Here not only for our benefit, though, not just to be our good luck charm, but here to give us life and to call us to a different kind of a life. A life that brings hope to the world, hopefully. Hopefully, that's what God's about. You know, and I know, and God knows, that we are often not the people that we seem to be. We may seem successful, but we are all too aware of the ways that we have failed those who love us, the ways we have failed our own hopes, fallen short of our own desires or dreams. We may seem like we have it all together, but we know how hard we work to keep those appearances up. How much energy goes into putting our image out there to the world. We may seem good, we may even be good most of the time, but we know the ways we do not measure up to our own standards, not only God's standards. And sometimes we're brave enough to realize that we're not what we seem. We're not all we could be. And then when we meet Jesus, who also is not who he seems to be, then grace happens. Then grace happens. It's not a cheap grace because it requires us to admit that we're not the people we could be. But it's grace because we realize that Jesus is not a plastic saint, not a good luck charm, but rather the presence of the living God who asks and deserves our very best, but who loves us even when we're not at our best. And that is a costly grace, because it costs God to love us when we're that way. And if you want to know how much it costs, you only have to look up at the cross. God loves us the way we are, but God loves us too much to let us stay that way. God does want us to be successful, to have it all by giving it away for the sake of others. God wants us to have our lives together by letting others see that we don't, and how that kind of honesty allows God to put us all together in a way that actually works. God wants us to be good, but not for appearances' sake, but rather for the world's sake. And so the parade on Palm Sunday, the parade which seems to be a charade, since Jesus is not who he seems to be, turns out to be the parade of a conquering hero after all, the parade of one who conquers sin and death, not only in his resurrection, but also in our hearts. And that makes Palm Sunday a day to celebrate after all. Not to celebrate a plastic Jesus, a good luck charm, but rather the Jesus who is a living presence, the living presence of God within us and among us right now, today, offering us that grace that's free, that grace that's costly, that grace that can make us whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.